A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel wrote to us about a belt, and I want to read this exactly as he sent it, because the question he's asking is a lot bigger than gear.
Yeah, it really is.
Here's what he said. As you know, I've become a big fan of tactical EDC belts. I picked one up because at the moment my wife and I are unboxing, and we're in that weird phase where we're constantly juggling childcare, unboxing, drilling, and so on. But my over-the-top enthusiasm for this belt comes not because it's incredibly useful at the moment, but because I think this will be transformative over the long term. As you know, I have ADHD. Growing up, my mom called me the absent-minded professor. It's not that I deliberately lose things, it's just that when I'm thinking, everything except my body seems to magically fall out of my hands. So the very simple premise of the EDC carry system, which is to find an efficient and ergonomic way to keep things on your body, is a solution that I feel like I've been wanting to know about for my whole life. At some point, hopefully in the not too distant future, we'll be unboxed. At that point, I want to be ready. And then he ends with the question that's really the whole episode. Can a belt fix a brain problem?
That's the line.
That's the line. So today we're going to take this seriously. Not as gear fetishism, not as another thing Daniel bought and got excited about. We're going to look at this as a genuine cognitive intervention. Let's start with what this belt actually is.
So an EDC belt, everyday carry belt, isn't the strip of leather holding your pants up. It's a load-bearing platform. The webbing is stiff, usually nylon, reinforced stitching, and it won't sag under weight. The key difference is attachment points. Some have MOLLE webbing built in, those horizontal rows of loops, and others you add aftermarket clips. But the function is the same, your mounting pouches directly to your waist. It's a tool belt that doesn't look like a tool belt.
And that last part matters for Daniel. He's not going to a construction site. He's at a parent-teacher conference or holding Ezra while drilling a shelf. The thing has to disappear socially.
Right. And modern EDC belts do. The arcade belt, the Groove Life belt, these look like fashion belts. Nobody clocks them as tactical gear. But they're holding a multi-tool and a box cutter and a phone pouch that won't dump your phone when you bend over to pick up a toddler.
Which is the exact use case. Bending over while holding a child and everything in your pockets hits the floor.
And that's the core mechanism we need to talk about. The carry system externalizes working memory by anchoring frequently lost items to your body. When items live on your belt, the "where did I put it?" search loop is eliminated. The answer is always, on my waist. For someone without ADHD, EDC is convenience. For someone with ADHD, it's a structural intervention. You're replacing a broken internal system with a reliable external one.
And the broken internal system is very specific. It's not carelessness. ADD Dude magazine has documented this pretty thoroughly. Losing items is a direct symptom of working memory failure during task switching. When Daniel sets down a box cutter to pick up Ezra, his brain's task switching mechanism doesn't just deprioritize the box cutter, it forgets it as a physical entity. The object ceases to exist in his cognitive map.
I saw this in my pediatric practice constantly. Parents would bring in kids with ADHD and say he's so careless, he leaves everything everywhere. And I'd have to explain, no, this isn't a character flaw. The working memory buffer that holds box cutter is on the counter, gets overwritten the moment a higher priority task interrupts. It's not that the child doesn't care, it's that the information was never stored.
And the same mechanism is operating in adults. Daniel's mom called him the absent-minded professor. That's the exact pattern. Deep in thought, hands release objects, objects vanish. The brain was busy.
So now, look at what traditional solutions demand. Put it in the same place every time. That requires remembering to use the system, which is the exact cognitive function that's impaired. You're asking the broken thing to fix itself.
Or pockets. Pockets seem like they should work, but items migrate between pants. You change clothes, the thing stays in yesterday's jeans. or you bend over to grab Ezra and your phone slides out onto the floor. Pockets have no retention. They're just fabric balls.
The EDC belt is a body-anchored invariant. It never leaves your body. You put it on when you get dressed, you take it off when you go to bed. The attachment points are always available. And the pouches have retention, snap closures, or friction fit, so items don't fall out even when you're running, bending, or juggling a child.
Daniel's exact use case again. He's holding a drill in one hand, a box cutter in the other, Ezra is somehow involved, and his phone is... where? On a box somewhere? Under a packing peanut? The belt means the phone is always on his hip. He can feel it there.
That tactile feedback is huge. When items are physically attached to you, you don't need to remember where they are. You can feel them. Your hip knows the multi-tool is there. Your brain doesn't have to run a visual search of every surface in the room.
Which is the thing that exhausts you. The constant scanning. Where did I put the? That's cognitive load that never lets up.
And it compounds. Every where did I put it moment costs you not just the time spent searching, but the task interruption itself. You are drilling, now you're hunting for the box cutter, now you've lost your place in the drilling, now you have to reorient. The belt eliminates whole categories of interruption.
So, let's talk about the belt itself. What should Daniel actually buy? Because there's a whole world of tactical gear out there, and it's very easy to go overboard.
Wirecutter's top picks for this year, the Grip 6 and the Volland. The Grip 6 is minimalist, very light, and it has a quick-release buckle. That buckle matters more than you'd think. You don't thread it through belt loops, you just click it on. For someone with executive dysfunction, multi-step morning routines are a failure point. The more friction between waking up and having your system on your body, the more likely you skip it.
The quick release also solves the removal problem. Daniel's going to be sitting for long periods. He's going through airport security when they travel. If taking the belt off is a whole production, he'll take it off and set it down, and then we're back to the object loss problem. But now the object is the entire carry system.
The only failure mode for a belt is taking it off and leaving it somewhere. The quick-release buckle makes removal intentional. You click it off, you set it down, you know you did it. It's not something that happens accidentally.
The Volland is the other pick. More load-bearing, more modular. If Daniel ends up carrying heavier tools or more pouches, the Volland handles the weight better. But for the unboxing phase, I'd say start with the Grip 6. One belt, one multi-tool pouch, nothing else.
And that's important. Don't buy a full kit up front. The gear creep trap is real. You see all these pouches and attachments and you think, I need the full loadout. Then you're carrying 8 pounds of gear you never use and the belt becomes a burden instead of a solution.
There's a heuristic from EDC communities called the three-touch rule. If you touch an item more than 3 times in a day without moving it to your belt, it's a candidate for a pouch. If you never touch it, it doesn't belong on your belt. The system stays lean by only earning new pouches through demonstrated need.
That's such a good rule. It prevents the thing where you buy a pouch for every conceivable scenario, and then you're carrying a flashlight you use twice a year and a backup battery that's been dead since March. The belt isn't a museum of preparedness. It's a tool for today.
So for Daniel right now, during unboxing, what's on the belt? Box cutter, multi-tool for drilling, phone, keys. 4 items. Each gets a dedicated secured pouch that can be operated one-handed because his other hand is holding a child or a shelf bracket.
And the one-handed operation thing isn't a small detail. If you need 2 hands to unclip your phone pouch, the system fails the moment you're holding Ezra. Snap closures are good for this. Magnetic closures are even better, but you have to make sure they're strong enough that the item doesn't pop out when you bend over.
I've seen magnetic phone pouches fail exactly that way. The magnet is strong enough for walking around, but not for the angle you hit when you crouch to pick up a toddler. So for Daniel's use case, I'd say snap or friction fit, not magnetic.
Agreed. And retention is the whole game. The reason pockets fail is that they have no retention. The reason the belt works is that items are secured. A box cutter in a snap-closed pouch can't fall out. It can't be set down absent-mindedly because it was never in your hand in the first place. You drew it, used it, reholstered it.
Reholstered. You're making it sound like a firearm.
The motion is the same. And that's actually the point. The EDC community borrowed a lot of its design principles from holster design. The idea that an item has a dedicated home that you can access without looking and return without thinking. That's exactly what Daniel's brain needs.
And this is where I want to push on something. Daniel said he thinks this will be transformative, long-term, beyond the unboxing phase. Is that actually true? Or is this just the right tool for a very specific chaotic moment?
I think he's right, and here's why. EDC systems create habit compounding. Every time you reach for your belt instead of scanning a table, you reinforce the neural pathway of item lives on body. After about 30 days, the behavior becomes automatic. It bypasses working memory entirely. You don't think, where is my multi-tool? Your hand just goes to your hip.
So the belt trains a new default. The default stops being set it down somewhere and becomes return it to the pouch. That's the long-term transformation. It's not that the belt solves today's chaos. It's that it rewires the habit that created the chaos.
And once the unboxing phase ends, the system adapts. The box cutter comes off. Maybe a notebook goes on, a flashlight for evening walks. The Art of Manliness Guide on EDC emphasizes this. They call it intentional carry. You choose what goes on the belt based on what you actually need today. That act of choosing forces prioritization, which is itself an executive function skill that improves with practice.
So the belt doesn't just externalize memory. It exercises the prioritization muscle. You've limited real estate on your waist. You can't carry everything. You have to decide what matters.
And that decision-making is something ADHD brains struggle with. Everything feels equally urgent. The belt forces a physical constraint that makes prioritization concrete. There are only 4 pouch slots. What actually needs to be there?
Daniel mentioned the absent-minded professor pattern. I want to connect that to something specific. The reason his past attempts probably failed, the phone wallets, the key hooks, the reminder apps, is that all of those systems require remembering to use the system. The phone wallet works if you remember to put the phone in the wallet. The key hook works if you remember to hang the keys. The reminder app works if you remember to check the app.
And the belt works because putting it on is part of getting dressed. It's not an extra step. It's not a system you opt into each morning. You put on pants, you put on the belt. The pouches are already on the belt. The items go in the pouches. There's no moment of, I should use my organization system now. The system is just there.
Frictionless. That's the word. The best ADHD tool is one that requires zero executive function to use. The belt passes that test because it piggybacks on an existing habit. You already wear a belt. This is just a belt that does more.
And I want to address the objection that I know is coming. Won't I just lose the belt? The belt is worn, not carried. It's always on you. The only way to lose it's to take it off and set it down, which is why the quick-release buckle is critical. It makes removal a deliberate act, not something that happens when you're distracted. And if you do take it off, the belt is large. It's not a set of keys that disappears into a couch cushion. You can see it.
Let me ask you something from the pediatric side. You saw kids with ADHD for years. Did you ever recommend anything like this? External carry systems?
Not belts, obviously, for kids. But the principle is the same. We'd recommend backpack systems where everything has a dedicated pocket and the backpack goes on a hook by the door. The key was always the same. The system has to be body anchored or location. Anchored in a way that doesn't depend on memory. The backpack lives on the hook. The hook is by the door. You walk in, backpack goes on hook. No decision, no memory, just physical habit.
And the belt is the adult version of that. The belt lives on your waist. The pouches live on the belt. You walk in, the items go in the pouches. Same logic.
Same logic. And it works for the same reason. You're not asking the prefrontal cortex to do a job it's bad at. You're letting the body do what bodies do well, which is learn physical routines.
There's a second-order benefit here that I don't think Daniel explicitly named, but that I suspect he's already feeling. Reducing decision fatigue. Every where-did-I-put-my-phone moment is a micro-depletion of cognitive resources. Over a day, over a week, those depletions add up. By the time you need to make an actual important decision, you're running on fumes.
The unboxing phase is already cognitively draining. You're making hundreds of decisions about where things go, what to keep, what to throw out. Adding where is my box cutter to that load is brutal. The belt offloads a whole category of micro-decisions so you have bandwidth for the decisions that actually matter.
Like, which wall does this shelf go on instead of, where did I set down the drill?
That bandwidth preservation continues long after the boxes are gone. Daniel's a developer. He's doing deep cognitive work. The last thing he needs while debugging is a 5-minute interruption to find his notebook. The notebook lives on his belt. He reaches down. It's there. No context switch, no lost train of thought.
The cost of context switching is well documented. Some estimates put it at 20 to 25 minutes to fully recover deep focus after an interruption. If the belt prevents 3 or 4, where is my thing? Interruptions per day? That's potentially an hour of recovered deep work time.
For someone with ADHD, the recovery time might be longer. The attentional system is already working harder to maintain focus. An interruption doesn't just cost time, it can derail the entire work session.
The belt isn't just about not losing things. It's about protecting the ability to think.
That's the long-term transformation Daniel is sensing. It's not, I'll stop losing my box cutter. It's, I'll stop losing my train of thought.
Let's talk about the maintenance trap, though. Because I've seen this happen. Someone gets into EDC, buys the belt, buys the pouches, and then 6 months later the pouches are full of junk they never use. The system becomes clutter. How do you prevent that?
The Art of Manliness Guide recommends a 30-day audit. Look at every item on your belt. Have you used it in the last month? If not, it comes off. No exceptions. The belt isn't a storage system. It's an active carry system. If you haven't touched it in 30 days, it doesn't earn its real estate.
Daniel should plan for this. Quarterly EDC audit. Take everything off, look at each item, ask, did I use this? Put back only what earned its place. The three-touch rule works in reverse, too. If you used to touch an item 3 times a day, and now you touch it once a week, it comes off the belt. The system adapts as your life changes. Post-unboxing, the box cutter comes off. Maybe the multi-tool stays because you're always fixing things. Maybe a notebook goes on because you're back to meetings.
That constancy is part of the cognitive benefit. The belt becomes a familiar physical anchor. Your body knows it's there. Your hand knows where each pouch is. You can draw and reholster without looking. That's a kind of embodied knowledge that doesn't depend on attention or memory.
It's like a musician with their instrument. They don't think about where the keys are. Their fingers just go there.
You build that over time. The first week, you're still thinking about the belt. By week 4, it's transparent. You don't notice it until it's not there.
I want to circle back to something Daniel said that I think is the emotional core of this prompt. A solution I feel like I'd been wanting to know about for my whole life. That's not gear enthusiasm. That's relief.
It is. And I think the relief comes from the fact that this solution doesn't ask him to be different. It doesn't say, be more careful, or try harder to remember. It says, here's a physical system that works whether you remember or not. That's the opposite of every piece of advice he's gotten his whole life.
You just need to pay more attention. How many times has he heard that?
Thousands. And it's wrong. It's not an attention problem. It's a working memory architecture problem. You can pay all the attention in the world and still lose things if your brain doesn't encode object location during task switches. The belt doesn't care about any of that. It just holds the thing.
There's something almost philosophical here. The belt doesn't try to fix the brain. It accepts the brain as it is and builds a scaffold around it.
That's exactly what good ADHD treatment does. Medication helps with focus, but external systems are the scaffold. Calendars, reminders, routines. The belt is just the most literal possible scaffold. It's physically attached to you.
I'm imagining Daniel 6 months from now. The boxes are gone. Ezra is a little older. Daniel's back to his normal work rhythm, and he's still wearing the belt. Not because he's still in chaos mode, but because the belt has become part of how he functions. His hands know where everything is. His brain is free to think about other things.
That's the transformation he predicted. The belt doesn't just solve the unboxing problem, it becomes infrastructure, like electricity. You don't think about it until it's not there.
There's a question I want to raise, though. Is there a risk of becoming dependent on external carry systems? If Daniel wears this belt for 5 years, does he lose the ability to function without it?
I don't think so, and the ADD Dude research backs this up. External systems are the standard treatment for executive dysfunction. We don't worry that someone with poor eyesight will become dependent on glasses. We accept that the glasses are a prosthetic that corrects a real deficit. The belt is the same category of thing. It's a cognitive prosthetic.
The glasses analogy works. Nobody says, but what if you become dependent on being able to see?
Right. And the research on habit formation suggests the opposite of dependency. The belt trains the motor pattern of return item to home. Over time, that pattern generalizes. Even without the belt, you might find yourself being more intentional about where you set things down, because the physical habit has been internalized.
It's not a crutch that weakens the muscle. It's training wheels that eventually change how you ride.
That's the hope. And even if it doesn't generalize, even if Daniel wears a belt for the rest of his life, so what? The outcome is he stops losing things. That's a win, regardless of the mechanism.
Fair. Let's talk about the future of this. Daniel's intuition about long-term transformation might be more literal than he realizes. As smart fabrics and wearable tech evolve, the EDC belt could integrate with phone finders, medication reminders, haptic navigation. The belt becomes a true cognitive prosthetic, not just a physical one.
Imagine a belt that vibrates when you walk away from your phone, or a pouch that reminds you to take your medication at the right time. The belt is already a platform. Adding intelligence to it's a natural next step.
Daniel's an open source developer. He could build some of this himself. A little microcontroller, a vibration motor, a Bluetooth connection to his phone. The belt becomes a project as well as a tool.
I love that. The belt that started as a way to not lose a box cutter becomes a platform for self-augmentation. That's a very Daniel trajectory.
Okay, so the theory checks out. But how does Daniel actually pull this off without turning into a gear junkie? Here's the practical playbook.
Step 1. Start with a minimalist belt. Grip 6 or Volin from the Wirecutter Picks. Quick release buckle, not a ratchet. You want to be able to take it off easily for airport security or long sitting sessions.
Step 2. One multi-tool pouch. That's it. Don't buy the full kit. Add pouches only when you notice a specific item is frequently lost or needed. Use the 3-touch rule.
Step 3. For the unboxing phase specifically, get pouches with snap closures or strong friction fit, not magnetic. You need retention that survives bending, crouching, and toddler retrieval. Each pouch must be operable one-handed.
Step 4, 30-day audit. At the end of every month, take everything off the belt. Anything you haven't used stays off. The belt isn't a museum, it's an active tool.
Step 5. When the unboxing phase ends, do a full reset. Take everything off. Ask what your daily carry actually needs to be now. Maybe it's notebook, phone, multi-tool, flashlight. Maybe it's something else. The belt adapts to your life, not the other way around.
The meta lesson here is the one Daniel already figured out. The best ADHD tool is the one that requires zero executive function to use. The belt passes this test because putting it on is part of getting dressed. It's not an extra step. It's not a system you have to remember to engage with. It's just there.
That's why it works when nothing else did. The phone wallet required remembering to put the phone in the wallet. The key hook required remembering to hang the keys. The reminder app required remembering to check the app. The bell requires nothing except wearing pants.
Which Daniel was already doing, presumably.
I assume so. We've never asked.
Probably best not to.
You've got your belt, your pouches, your 3-touch rule. But I want to leave you with a question that I think is worth keeping in mind.
Go.
What happens when the belt becomes invisible to you? When it's so integrated into your routine that you stop noticing it? Does the benefit continue? Or does the system degrade because you're no longer consciously maintaining it?
That's the automation paradox. The thing that works best is the thing you forget is working. But the thing you forget is working is the thing you stop maintaining.
I don't have a clean answer. I think the 30-day audit is the safeguard. Even if you stop noticing the belt, the audit forces you to look at it. But it's a real question. The system works because it's frictionless, but frictionless systems are easy to neglect.
My guess is the belt survives neglect better than most systems because it's physical. Even if you never audit it, the pouches are still there. The items are still secured. The worst case is you accumulate some unused gear. The core function, not losing your phone and keys, keeps working whether you think about it or not.
That's probably right. The failure pattern is bloat, not collapse. And bloat is fixable with an audit.
Daniel's question, can a belt fix a brain problem? The answer is no, but that's the wrong question. The belt doesn't fix the brain, it routes around it. It builds a physical scaffold that does the job the brain can't do reliably. And that's not a consolation prize. That's just good engineering.
The best brain hack might be a belt. That's where we're landing.
If you have a weird prompt about a tool that changed how you think, or a system that rewired your habits, send it to prompts@myweirdprompts.com. We take your weird seriously.
Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop, for making this show happen.
This has been My Weird Prompts. I'm Korn.
I'm Herman Poppleberry. We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth's slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long ear host. My weird prompts, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.